Amen. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for playing and everyone for singing. And what a privilege to be able to sing about America and the heritage we enjoy as a nation. Appreciate that. If that doesn't get you in the patriotic mood, I don't know what will. You might as well go home, I think, if something's wrong with you. I invite you to turn to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. We want to talk this morning about the Liberty Bell of the Bible. The Liberty Bell of the Bible. Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 12. And if you find your place there, if I could, I don't know if we've stood up for a little bit. Maybe stand and get you to stretch out a little and follow along as I read, beginning at Leviticus 25 and verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, or 49 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. And then thou shalt cause a trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day in the 7th month. In the day of the atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a Jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself, nor gather the grapes of it in thy vineyard. For it is a Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you, and ye shall eat the increase thereof. Proclaim liberty throughout the land. Lord, bless our time this morning in your word. Thank you so much for the heritage we enjoy as citizens of the United States of America. You have so richly blessed this nation, but we have turned away from the foundation of this nation. We've turned away from faith in God and in the Bible and in Jesus Christ the Savior. And we're going our own way, and we've lost our way, Lord. Bring us back. Bring us to repentance as a nation, that there might be a turning. Help us to be faithful, to serve you and not ourselves, Lord, to honor you and not just man, but to give honor and glory unto Jesus Christ our Savior. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day in which we can celebrate the freedom we enjoy in this country. And may, above all, we rejoice in the liberty we have in Jesus Christ our Savior, who delivered us from the bondage of sin and Satan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Liberty Bell, you know, that bell with a crack in it, the Liberty Bell of the United States of America is housed at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, and is still today a great symbol of the precious gift of freedom that God has given to us. Now, how very fitting that on that bell are imprinted these words from this passage that we just read. On the Liberty Bell are these words: proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Leviticus 25:10. That's exactly why the bell rang on July 8th, 1776, when the people of Philadelphia gathered. The Declaration of Independence was read to them, and it was the first time they heard those wonderful words that say in part, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so America's long, hard fight for freedom would last a total of 6 years until 1781, when our country would win its freedom from the tyranny of England by defeating General Cornwallis and the British Army at Yorktown, Virginia. the Liberty Bell proclaim freedom, a free nation to be able to worship God as she pleases, freedom to worship and to serve God as she desired. And so the Liberty Bell is a great symbol of the greatest nation on earth. Yes, you and I have the privilege of living in the greatest nation yet today on earth. I know we're losing our freedoms. I know we've turned away from God, but this heritage is so strong that the freedom we enjoy continues today, amazingly. But God is gracious. But we have a great, great privilege of living in America. We have a tremendous heritage, and how we ought to thank our Father over and over for the heritage that we enjoy, and how we ought to celebrate this 4th of July and our nation's freedom. But before we get too carried away with the celebration, we need to remember that this great Liberty Bell is not perfect. It has a serious flaw in it. It has a huge crack. The Liberty Bell was rung on every important festival and anniversary of America until 1835. Just a little Liberty Bell history here. According to tradition, the crack occurred on July 8th, 1835, while the bell was being tolled, rung, during the funeral rites for Chief Justice John Marshall. It was rung for the last time on Washington's birthday in 1846, when it cracked even further, and it was afterward lightly sounded on several occasions, including the day the U.S. entered into World War I and D-Day during World War II. It's a great bell, a wonderful bell, a beautiful symbol of our freedom, but it's not a perfect bell, and it has an imperfect sound. Ours is a great nation. I don't know of any other nation in which I would desire to live or to be born into. Ours is a great nation, but it's not a perfect nation. And as great as our government is, as great as our Constitution is, they are not perfect. There are flaws. There are cracks in them, for they are human institutions and human documents, unlike the Word of God. It's a great symbol, but has flaws. This is a great nation, but not without serious flaws. We have a great liberty, but there's even a flaw, a crack in that liberty. You see, this nation gives us an outward liberty only. That's all we have. An outward liberty. It frees us from outward bondage, but it cannot free us from an even greater and more cruel bondage, that inward bondage to sin, a bondage in which some of you find yourselves bound this very hour because you have not yet been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we need another Liberty Bell. We need to hear it ring loudly and clearly proclaim liberty to all. One without a flaw. One that is divine, not human. One without error. And there's only one Liberty Bell that looks like that. And that's the Liberty Bell of the Bible. Liberty Bell of the Bible. Concerning the Liberty Bell of the Bible, number one, it's a liberty that is proclaimed. In the Bible, liberty is proclaimed. On the 50th year, as we read Leviticus, the Israelites were to proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. The Declaration of Independence was just that, a declaration. It was to be proclaimed, you see. It was a declaration, but it had to be declared, proclaimed throughout the land by the people. It was not enough for Thomas Jefferson to write it. It was not enough for John Hancock to sign it in large, clear letters. The people must hear the news. John Adams exhorted the nation to do it, to do it. The declaration was taken to the printing press. Copies were made and taken to each colony. Writers packed copies of the declaration in their saddlebags, and they jumped on their horses and over dusty roads and through shallow streams and over creaking bridges, they rode as fast as possible to carry the good news. The United States of America has to proclaim liberty. It took upward of 2 months for some people to hear the news, but assuredly, eventually, everyone would hear. The word got out. It was proclaimed. You see, the liberty bell of the Bible, in like manner, must be proclaimed. We need to get on our horses and ride, do we not? Everybody's got to hear of the freedom found in the Bible. Because if they don't hear, they won't know. How will they know without hearing the word? How will they hear without a preacher, as Romans 10 declares? Everybody's got to hear the freedom found in the Bible. What if the riders refuse to ride? Bible says your feet will be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Romans 10, 13 to 15. In Isaiah 61:1, we read, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. One day somebody told Terry Post about the liberty of the Bible, and he was freed from being captive to sin. He found liberty in knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, and a burden was lifted off his shoulders. This sinner found freedom, liberty in Christ. With the coming of the Son of God into the world comes man's only hope for deliverance from sin. And we need to proclaim that liberty to the captives. We need to be re-echoing the very words of our Lord. You see, there would be no independence in America until it was proclaimed. Proclaimed. There can be no liberty until liberty from sin is proclaimed. We need to hear. We need to hear. And we can't hear unless it's proclaimed. How are others going to hear unless you and I proclaim it? That means we share it. We tell others. We share our testimony. We tell how God saved me. He can save you. If he saved a wretch like me, my oh my, he can save anybody. He can. Liberty proclaimed. Number two, it's a liberty that is presented. Look at John 8. John chapter 8, verse 28 to 38. A liberty presented. Liberty from sin is presented in human form. The glorious person of Jesus Christ. And Romans 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, so I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, and many believed on him. And then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall make you free. And only the truth shall make you free. Your effort shall not make you free. Your goodness will not make you free. No friend, no family member will make you free. but the truth shall make you free. And then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen my Father, and you now do that which you have seen of your Father. I proceed and forth, and I come from God. Verse 42. I came from God. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, did he not? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And there is no liberty apart from the Lord. You and I must have the Lord. We must come to know him and serve him and love him and give him everything, our all. Romans 8. And verse 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, serving Christ is liberty, not bondage. Look at Romans 6. I should have had you turn to the other. But Romans 6. And verse 16, Romans 6, verse 16 to 18. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. You were slaves. You were slaves of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. No longer a slave to sin, now a slave to righteousness and in Jesus Christ. Free from sin, servants of righteousness. Verse 20, you were the servants of sin. James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Sin equals death for everyone. But, praise God, there's liberty from that death. Liberty from sin. Liberty from sin's strangulation and death's power in Jesus Christ. And we must not take that liberty for granted, but I'm afraid we do. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Ho-hum. What else is new? It ought to be new every day. It ought to be new every morning. We cannot, we must not take this liberty for granted. We never want to take the liberty we enjoy in this country for granted. And I'm afraid we have, and now that we're seeing it eroding away, we realize what we have had and what we hope to maintain. But we must fight and struggle for that liberty. It is precious. Liberty was presented in Christ Jesus, who presented himself as a savior of mankind. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So we see liberty proclaimed, the liberty bell in the Bible presented, and thirdly, liberty purchased. Our liberty was purchased at a great cost in America, but our forefathers were willing to pay that cost. And many who have followed them have likewise paid a great price, many the ultimate price, in giving their lives, in defending our freedom, fighting for our freedom. When we hear the word patriot, we ought to think of Patrick Henry, who gave the stirring speech which began to rouse the colonists in fighting for liberty. He cried, "Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of the chains of slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Nathan Hale, a school teacher from Connecticut, decided that he would serve America no matter what the cost. And Hale volunteered for a very dangerous mission. He was to sneak behind enemy lines and find out what the British Army was planning. And the risk was great, for he would be executed as a spy if he were caught. But Nathan Hale was not worried about his own life. He wanted to serve his country no matter the cost. And so he bravely started out on his mission. Unfortunately, Nathan Hale was captured by the British and condemned to death. But he was no coward. He did not beg for mercy. He did not betray his country. And his last words he spoke before he was executed were these: I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. My, oh my, I can't imagine saying something like that. I don't think I would, but he did, as he was a patriot. I regret that I have only one life to lose for my country. Our liberty was purchased at great price. There was a terrible winter at Valley Forge when Washington and soldiers, where hunger and cold were their worst enemies. No money to buy badly needed food, or clothes, or blankets, or socks, or shoes, or supplies. The soldiers only had thin, ragged clothing. Many men did not even have shoes for their feet. And as they walked, they left blood in the snow from their cold, sore feet. John Paul Jones, one of the first officers of our Navy, and a courageous one who fought many great sea battles. In one of the battles, a British officer shouted from his ship, "Are you going to surrender?" To which John Paul Jones cried back this answer: "I have not yet begun to fight." And kaboom, kaboom, the British officer surrendered to John Paul Jones instead. Indeed, our country's liberty was purchased at a great price. The blood of hundreds of thousands was shed. It didn't come freely. And so our liberty from sin, an even greater bondage, was purchased at a great cost, even the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-20, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation or manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, revealed unto you in these last times." This plan of salvation was revealed. It was proclaimed. It was shown to you and me that we might be saved. When we reflect upon the liberty we enjoy, we need to reflect upon the cost. We enjoy liberty in America because of men who were willing to die, that we might enjoy freedom and liberty. They made the ultimate sacrifice. They died so we can enjoy liberty, freedom. We enjoy soul liberty, salvation, liberty from sin, because, one, Just one. But oh my, what a Savior. One was willing to die, willing to shed his blood, willing to be crucified, not to obtain his own freedom or for his own sin. He had no sin. He did not need to die. But he died alone for you and me. I enjoy liberty from sin because he obtained it for me by the shedding of his blood and by the laying down of his life. He laid it down. No man takes it from me, he said, but I lay it down that I might take it again. You are not your own. 2 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. For you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with the price, the precious blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Look at Hebrews 2. Turn with me over to Hebrews. Right before James, isn't it? Hebrews 10? No, Hebrews 2, I said. Hebrews 2, verse 9. Hebrews 2, 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He experienced death for you and me, for every man. He died for all. We say, well, he died for the elect. Yeah, and he died for all. Yeah, I know he died for the elect. The Bible says over and over and over and over. You look it up and you'll find that he died for all 21 times at least in the New Testament. He tasted death. He died for every man. That every man could be saved if they would be saved. For it became him. It was essential for him. For whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain and their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, you and I are made out of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same. He became flesh and blood, that through death, in order that he might die, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When the love of Christ constrains us, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For we thus judge, and if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them. So it's a liberty proclaimed, a liberty presented, a liberty purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know that liberty? Maybe you're one of those that would just as soon see this 4th of July weekend come to an end. You're tired of seeing your dog go crazy in the house because all the fireworks. Well, put your dog in the basement then. We know about that. But you don't like the noise. You don't like your dog feeling the noise. And you don't get too excited about all the celebration. Well, that's fine. That's fine. As I get older, I understand. It wasn't until just a few years ago I finally quit going to the fireworks stand buying black cat firecrackers and lighting them off. Well, it's been more than a few years, but we do want to celebrate our freedom, and celebrate our freedom above all from sin. Let's show our gratitude for our soul's freedom. Let's celebrate every day this liberty of heart and soul by presenting our lives, our bodies, a living sacrifice to Him. God help us to do that for His honor, His glory, our good, our liberty that we enjoy in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together this morning. We ask Your blessing upon us, and we pray that You'll bless as we close. May we give You all the glory and honor, for You are due that glory and honor, and only You are due that. We thank You for the liberty we enjoy in Jesus Christ, and I just pray You'll bless now as we close. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.